Reading the scripture this morning from the New Revised Standard Version, John 20, verses 1 to 18, the resurrection of Jesus. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. She ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in the place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the witness of God's people. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you, though. Empty. The tomb was empty. And as Mary Magdalene sat there weeping before an empty grave, I imagine she felt lost. I imagine she felt grief. I imagine she felt alone. I imagine she felt puzzled. I imagine she felt confused. I imagine she felt a sense of responsibility. This Jesus, who had cared for her so beautifully in life, she was determined to care for unto death, if only she could find where he was. I imagine she felt desperate for some answers. I imagine she felt incomplete. I imagine she felt alone. I imagine she felt empty, like the tomb. She arrives early in the morning, perhaps to grieve alone, or perhaps to somehow tend to the body. It had likely already been treated with myrrh and other precious oils, the first century version of embalming, so as to offset the stench of a decaying body with no life left in it, wrapped in beautiful linens and laid in the tomb. Pretend under the piano is the tomb this morning. Whatever drew her to this scene, she was compelled. She would not leave Jesus's side. She had been there in his life. She had been there at the cross. And by golly, she was going to be there at the cave as well. It really doesn't seem that long ago that he had healed her of 7 evil spirits. He had taken care of her in life, and she loved him. She felt she owed her life to him in return. After that, she followed him consistently along with all the other disciples, including many women. We don't hear a lot about the women, but make no mistake, they were important to Jesus, and they were important to the story, and they were there, and they are here. Now he's dead and gone, apparently, and gazing upon an empty tomb, she too was empty inside. When and where might you too have felt empty? The morning my dad died, I was in the hospital room. The staff had done all they could, and now it was just his time. It's the cycle of life. It's the way it is. I collected his wallet, his cell phone, and his favorite Bugs Bunny keychain. I called all the contacts in his phone and talked and listened and cried with them. I posted on his Facebook wall and watched as a flood of messages came in from people I didn't know. But my dad certainly did. And he had apparently really touched their lives in some profound way. I wrapped up his business affairs while his friend who owned the house he lived in helped pack up all his things. He didn't want a service, and I honored that. So one day that week, as arranged, I went to the cemetery and I watched as they lowered the urn in the tomb. The empty tomb of a site now full of my dad's remains. And I cried and I prayed and I cried some more. And I sang a hymn, I don't remember which one. And I felt lost and empty, oh, so empty. A big piece of my heart and my life gone. And when I was ready, I said my piece and I'd done all I could. I gathered whatever strength I had and I got up and I walked away wondering what is next. To return home, full of love, full of loss, and a part of me empty. So I can appreciate how Mary Magdalene might have felt that morning at the tomb when she lost someone she loved dearly. How about you? When and where might you have felt as empty as this tomb? She runs to tell two of the disciples she had spent a good amount of time with and who knew her well, Simon Peter and the one Jesus loved, it's John, that the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty. She runs and tells these disciples. They run to the tomb. It seems everyone is running in this story. Mary Magdalene runs to the disciples. The disciples run to the tomb. Simon Peter and John race each other, looking as to who can get to the tomb first. Everyone running. This is urgent. The stone is rolled away and the body of Jesus missing. The tomb empty. The disciples arrive, they bend down and look in the cave. They go in the cave and they find it empty, just as the woman had told them, ladies. Other than the linens he was wrapped in and the towel that was on his head, other than some garments left behind, you wrap a body you've cared for, it is otherwise empty. And then the men run home. More running, more urgency. Why did they run home? To tell somebody? To make breakfast? Why were they running? I don't know. But not our dear Mary Magdalene. She is back where she started. Outside the tomb, finally brave enough to peer in herself. But she doesn't find it suddenly anymore empty the way Simon Peter and John did. No, now there are two angels inside in the positions of Jesus' head and Jesus' feet where Jesus was laid. Where the head and the feet of Jesus were, there are angels. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And the angels ask her, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? Are you kidding me? Duh! There's a million reasons. Pick one. The tomb is empty. I am empty. My hope, my faith, my trust, my love, my future in the truth of this man being the one, the Messiah, or so we thought. But now all that's gone and the tomb is empty. She turns. What prompted her to turn? Did she hear breathing? Did the angels react to something going on behind her? Did she have that inner sense of knowing someone else was in the room? Or was there a light that reflected so beautifully from Jesus, it reflected off the walls of the cave? Regardless, she turned around and saw a man she could only guess was the gardener. He says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Why does everyone keep asking her that? A million reasons, duh. Amidst her tears and in desperation, her voice, I imagine it was quaking, as it does when we're overcome with grief. We're not talking a cute, dainty cry here. We are talking one of those deep, guttural cries that takes over your whole body, an ugly cry, a good cry. She says to the presumed gardener, "Where have you taken him?" I can hear the angst in her voice. I can hear the desperation. I can hear the ache in her voice. "Mary," he responds. That voice, she knows him. He knows her and has called her by name. "Mary." That's all he had to say. "Mary." Suddenly, the tomb and she are far from empty. In fact, they are more full of life than ever before, more full of life and promise than anyone could ever have imagined. From death, loss, emptiness, and desperation, new life is present before her very eyes and calls her by name. "Mary." "Don't hold on to me," he says. "I still have to go to the one whom I call Father. Go to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene leaves the tomb, probably running, more running, more urgency, but this time not in desperation, but renewed in life and hope. This time the urgency is to share what she has seen and heard and felt and believed. Everything has changed. He's alive. And she is too. Perhaps now more than ever, she can't fully comprehend it all. But she has seen and heard and believed. She tells the disciples what Jesus told her and says she has indeed seen the Lord. The tomb is empty, but no longer is Mary Magdalene. The tomb is empty, but no longer is it a place of death and lost hope, but the place of promise of life after death, of angels being present, of resurrection, of being intimately and completely known by name and loved. Oh, so loved. The tomb is empty, but we need not be. The author and the finisher of life has overcome death and the grave and gone to a greater place and promises us the same. I wonder, like Mary Magdalene and Simon Peter and the one whom Jesus loved, John, what might you be running from? Or what you might be running to? Where are you running in your life? I wonder, like Mary Magdalene, when you may have seen and felt completely empty. And I wonder if it could possibly dare to be true, as we say in our United Church Creed, in life, in death, in life beyond death, we are not alone. God is with us. Then where do we go from here? How do we live our life in light of the tomb being empty and yet full of new life and possibility? Where do we go from here? The tomb is empty, and we are full, full of hope, full of wonder, full of promise, full of new life, now and everlasting. The tomb is empty. We need not be. May it be so. Amen.